Good day. My name is Michelle. Welcome to Nova's Business Report. And on the Market Watch with me today is Max Ricks. I must maybe just qualify that we are recording this a few days ahead of broadcast. And these days, at the speed that the gold price is changing, that's actually relevant. So, but we are going to talk a little bit on gold today, Max, but we are going to first start off with the stock markets. And whether there's a bubble cooking in the U.S. stock markets, maybe just for our listeners, we will also be touching on the European stock markets. But Max, maybe my first question is now also with a second cut from the Fed, that will obviously cause further positive action for the equity markets in the U.S., right?
Thanks for having me, first of all. Very happy to talk about all those quite complex topics. And it's interesting because if you look at the global markets right now, we're living through one of the strangest combinations in modern financial history. So U.S. equities at record highs, Nasdaq near 30 times multiple, gold recently reached more than 4,000 an ounce. And it's not a textbook cycle. It's more a liquidity cycle that refuses to die. So in the U.S., valuations are stretched. The S&P 500 trades at around 23 times forward earnings, roughly 30% above its 10-year median. And the Nasdaq closer to 30 times. So market concentration is extreme. And I'm going to put that into context. About 45% of total index performance year to date has come from just 7 stocks. So earnings breadth is deteriorating. The macro momentum is flattening. Yet capital keeps pouring into the growth. So the autonomy of a late cycle market is abundant. Liquidity, narrowing leadership, and valuation complacency. So we do see GDP growth slowing from 3% in H1 to around 1.5% annualized in Q4. So the Fed's balance sheet is still swollen, and the future curves pricing another 80 point and another 80 basis point of rate cuts over the next year. So liquidity anchor explains the resilience, but also why the equity risk premium collapsed to barely 2%, one of the lowest in two decades. And investors are being paid almost nothing for taking that equity risk, right? So yes, parts of the U.S. market do look like a bubble, but not an everything bubble. It's a liquidity bubble inside the mega cap tech. The narrative is so dominant that it has overridden fundamentals, and that's where the danger lies.
I want to ask you there. So the reason for this liquidity, maybe we've spoken about this in the past, where does the money come from?
It's quantitative tightening, basically, what comes from the Fed, right? We came from a QE, we came into the QT, and that is where the liquidity still remains in the market.
Okay, Max, let's. The point is, as you say, that about 7 stocks are responsible for this massive, like you said, 45% of the index. We all know those are related to tech and the likes. What is happening in Europe? Are they experiencing the same or not?
Turning to Europe is even more interesting now because the picture is less muted. European equities trade at roughly 13 times forward earnings at a 40% discount to the US. So there's no bubble dynamic here. Instead, you have a compressed expectation, undervalued cyclicals, a selective opportunity. So growth is still sluggish, and the Eurozone will likely end 2025 with barely 1% GDP expansion. But inflation is moderating, policy risk, while noisy, is already reflected in some prices. I mean, yes, there are some things like France remains the political fault line. The fiscal deficit is above 5% of GDP. Keeps ratings agencies uneasy. But overall, European markets are behaving irrationally. So this is a market trading on fundamentals, not fantasy, basically. And earnings revisions are stabilizing. Energy prices are softening. And real wage growth is also returning. That makes Europe the antithesis of the U.S., underowned, undervalued, and underhyped.
Incredible. Okay, if we can touch on gold, because that have seen a rally this year of note. I mean, as you said, it reached over 4,000 ounces. Where is this going?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, gold has gone from around 2,500 USD in late 2024 to around 4,000. I mean, that's a 60% gain in less than 12 months, right? A stronger performance than the S&P 500, which is up roughly 22% year to date. Normally, you don't see both assets rally together. So when that happens, it tells you markets are running two emotional currents at once, greed and fear. So on the one hand, investors are chasing growth, AI, and duration risk. On the other hand, they're buying insurers. Gold has become that hedge, not just inflation hedge, but against valuation excess and potential policy error. That comes with real yields have eased. The US dollar has softened modestly, and central banks, especially China, Turkey, and the Gulf, have been diversifying their reserves aggressively into the bullion. So add that to rising geopolitical tensions and fiscal dominance narratives, and you get a structural bid that keeps gold supported even in a risk-on environment. So what's happening now is that gold has turned into a monetary hedge against financial assets themselves. It's not even longer actually a commodity story in our view. It's more a macro credibility story, if that makes sense. And investors are implicitly questioning that sustainability of policy frameworks. That's why you see gold breaking out above the USD 4,000, even while equities sit near all-time highs, even though there was a bit of a sell-off during the last couple of days. But that is just a bit of rebalancing also, right?
Yeah. If I can ask you in conclusion, Max, I mean, our listeners will have investments indirectly through various funds into offshore markets, and it's not always that it's within their ability to redirect or have reallocation in asset classes. But do you have a pearl of wisdom this today for us?
Yes. So I mean, from an asset allocation perspective, our current stance is modestly underweight the global equities, overall neutral to US and slightly overweight Euro. So we overweight fixed income as well because of duration. Finally pays again. 10-year treasury is at around 4%, bonds near around 2%. Of a junior carrier without the valuation risk of equities. We also do like gold, but not as a trade, but as a portfolio hedge. And it's functioning as a volatility absorber in the market that refuses to correct. And if I need to summarize that whole story, that the US market is in a late cycle liquidity bubble. Gold's surge reflects systemic hedging, demand and fiscal policy fatigue. And Europe is relatively sailing out of the global equity landscape. So the current mix is stretched valuations, falling real yields, and record gold is not sustainable indefinitely. So if for investors, that means it is the time to harvest gains, rebuild liquidity, and re-risk only selectively. So use the gold rally as confirmation that markets are nervous beneath the surface, not as a validation that everything is just fine. And I think the next 5 to 8 months will really determine whether the Fed can engineer a soft landing without puncturing asset prices.
Yeah, well, they've got government shutdown as well, so I'm not sure exactly how that all impacts, but that is over to a next time. Thank you so much, Max, for enlightening us with your insights. Quite complex. Until the next time, thank you.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you for having me.